If you love for Jesus, I'm talking myself too, if you love for Jesus Christ today is not the greatest it's ever been, what are we? We're backsliders.
Thank you so much. So it is a joy to be here. Turn your Bibles this morning, if you would please, to the book of Revelation and chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. I'm not specifically speaking on Revelation chapter 2. Like Vance Havner said, the average preacher today takes a text and then he departs. But I want to use this, and I know it's customary in this church, and I like that custom, to stand for the reading of the Word of God. So if you do that, please. I'm going to read the first 7 verses of Revelation chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, how you cannot bear them which are evil, how you've tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else. It gives you a choice. I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And one other verse, you don't need to turn to it, Proverbs 14:14. Part of the verse says, the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. Let's pray. Father, thy word is living. Thy word is life-giving. Lord, the psalmist said, your word is settled in heaven. Help us today to get it settled in our hearts and lives. And may we not just be hearers of the word, help us to be doers of the same. We love you. In Christ's precious name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I have a question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you do, say amen.
Amen.
I love it. I'll give you one more chance. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, say amen.
Amen.
Now here's my next question. And I want you to think seriously about it. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ more today than you've ever loved him before?
Amen.
No and, ifs, or buts. That's a serious question. Do I love the Lord Jesus more today than I've ever loved him before? Do I love the local church more today than I've ever loved it before? Do I love the Word of God more today than I've ever loved it before? Do I love the souls of men more today than I've ever loved it before? Title of my message, Leaving Your First Love. Leaving Your First Love. Have you ever observed marriages that over a period of years, they seem to get stronger and stronger, and the love bond seems to be greater and greater and greater? I trust you didn't only have to observe it in someone else's household. I hope you're observing it in your own. But then have you ever noticed marriages that sometimes seemingly almost too quickly, if there ever was that real, genuine bond of love, it doesn't seem to be as real as it once was. Leaving your first love. There are some names in the Word of God that if I give it to you, you immediately brings up a certain connotation. Whatever that word means, I read it this week, I like it. I don't know what it means, I'll look it up later. Brings to you a certain significance. Let me just give you 2 or 3. Judas Iscariot. I mentioned Judas Iscariot. You know the Bible at all, you automatically think what? Betrayal. He betrayed. He sold the Son of God
for a few bucks. Secondly, you might not be quite familiar with this person, Demas. He was a co-laborer with the Apostle Paul. But later on, Paul had to write in and say, Demas has forsaken me. Here's the reason: having loved this present world. So you see, the love of the world became more in his life than the love of Christ. Diotrephes in 3 John verse 9, here's what it says. He loves to have the preeminence. What was his problem? Pride. So you got betrayal, and then you've got forsaken, and then you've got pride. David and Bathsheba, adultery. Samson and Delilah, immorality. Ananias and Sapphira, hypocrisy. So when you hear those names, automatically, a truth, and sad to say, in most of these cases, negative. Then there are Bible names of places that are significant. If I were to say to you today, Sodom and Gomorrah, we'll especially deal with Sodom. You know what the Bible says about Sodom? Abraham prayed 50, 40, 30. There were not 10 righteous people in the whole city. God says, you find 10 righteous, I'll spare the city. Didn't have 10 righteous. Not everyone says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Then there's a word over in Revelation dealing with the seven churches, the church at Sardis, S-A-R-D-I-S. Here's what it has to say about that in chapter 3 of Revelation. It says, you have a name, but you're dead. How would you like to have the Spirit of God put that over your church? You've got a name, but you're dead. For 30 years on this location, Jesus Christ had been glorified. The gospel has been proclaimed, and lives have been transformed by the grace of God. We have so much for which to be thankful. Then there are descriptive words in the Bible. Here's one, castaway. Paul said, when I've preached to others, God forbid I myself should be a castaway, on the shelf, no longer effectively used of God. I have a message I share, how to finish well. And most people, I've preached it here, I've only got 7 messages, I just changed the titles. But most people think finishing well has to do with the future. It has nothing to do with the future. Finishing well has to do with the present. If you're going to finish well, you've got to run well. So how important it is, cast away. Another word, 2 Corinthians 13:5, reprobate. That's somebody who was tested and they turned away. And then the word that I want to use today, backslider. What did the verse say in Proverbs 14:14? The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. I looked up the word backslider in the dictionary. I did the Christian dictionary, and then I did the secular dictionary. But it said this, a Christian out of touch with the Lord, disobedient, unhappy, ineffective. I want to make a suggestion to you. I believe that a backslider, by the way, it's an Old Testament word, but it simply means I've drifted away from where I was spiritually. Okay? I'm no longer where I was spiritually. Can I suggest to you personal observation, okay, personal opinion? I think the most miserable person on planet Earth is a backslider. Amen. You know why? They're caught between two worlds. See, they can't really enjoy this world here. You know why? They've been made a partaker of the divine nature, and Christ lives within them, so they have the Christ life. So therefore, they can't really enjoy the world because of that. And they're not really enjoying their Christ life because they've allowed the world to saturate and control their life. And there's nothing probably worse than being caught between two areas, caught between two destinations and situations. Question.
Might this brief introduction possibly describe you? Could it possibly describe me? Let's talk about it. The reality of backsliding, filled with his own ways. The one number one aspect of backsliding and drifting away from the Lord. And by the way, you can put up a good front on the outside when things just aren't right on the inside. So when I talk about the reality of backsliding, I jotted down four words I think will help describe it. The first one is desire. Romans 7:18, Paul talked about the control of the flesh. Matter of fact, I call Romans 7 the tongue twister chapter of the Bible. It's where what Paul said, when I do good, evil is present within me, the good that I would do, not the bad that I would not do. I end up doing the bad when I want to do the good. Every time I plan on doing the good, I end up doing the bad. Don't understand why I do it, but sin dwells in me. Do not ask me to repeat it. I practiced that for an hour before I left the house. So the flesh, what's that? Desire. Desires. You see, every Christian faces a threefold enemy. And if you want to get that all into one context, Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. Every Christian faces a threefold enemy. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world's my external foe, the flesh is my internal foe, and the devil is my supernal foe. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So where's backsliding start? Starts with desire. Okay. Secondly, that desire leads to decision. And by the way, there's only one of two decisions. A decision's either right or it's wrong. It's amazing how we endeavor to explain. No. I really didn't do what was right, but I really didn't do what was wrong. Now, if you didn't do right, what did you do? Okay. So if your love for Jesus Christ is not the greatest this morning it's ever been, what are you? Oh, you don't want to say it, do you? The word is a backslider. Okay, so I'm going to ask it again. If your love for Jesus, I'm talking to myself too, if your love for Jesus Christ today is not the greatest it's ever been, what are we? We're backsliders. Okay, so it leads to decision. What kind? We make wrong decisions. Why? Because we're being controlled by the flesh. So what's that lead to? Leads to defeat. Leads to defeat. And it leads to defeat in my life as a Christian. And in Numbers 32:23, the Bible says this, be sure your sin will find you out. Can you sin and get away with it? No. Can you sin and probably try to hide it from other people? Yes. And by the way, sin is sin no matter what you call it or I call it. And what is sin? Sin is anything comes short of the character of Almighty God. And I'm sure that each and every one of us have come short of the character of Almighty God. Matter of fact, I can tell you how many people in this church this morning have come short of the character of God. The one sitting in your seat is one of them. So you add that up and you got the total attendance. And the one standing on the platform is the additional one. We've all sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. Some of us may have come more short than others. So the desire of the flesh, that leads to decision of wrong. What's it say in Proverbs 28:13? He that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And then that leads to defeat, all because of one person, and he's called the devil. And in Luke 22:31-32, just before the cross, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. In what area of his life did he pray for? Here it is, that your faith fail not. What does 2 Peter chapter 1 say is the key? My faith. What is faith? Forsaking all, I trust him. Faith is simply taking God at his word. So there's the reality of backsliding. Secondly, the reason for backsliding. There's one, just one, basic one. Listen to the verse, Proverbs 14:14. The backslider, what's the next two words? In heart. The backslider in heart. Can you say those two words? No, say all three. Backslider in heart. Ready? Backslider in heart. One more time.
Backslider in heart.
Ladies?
Backslider in heart.
Guys, we've had time enough to learn it. Guys, you know where it all starts? It starts in the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks where? On the heart. And see, the Bible, when it talks about the heart, it's not talking about that little mechanism, goes kapook, kapook, kapook. When it goes kapook, you go kapook. Had a little problem with mine a few weeks ago, and they ran me through a nuclear test and an echo test and a heart catheterization and got all done and said, I hope you make it. No. And the outcome was that the bypass I had 7 years ago is still wide open. Thank the Lord for that. But the artery on the right side of the heart's completely gone. And so he said, at your age, there's nothing we can do with it. But the heart's so constructed, the one side compensates for the other. I said, I hope you're right. But okay, that's the physical heart, right? But I'm talking about the spiritual heart. And what the spiritual heart is, it's that part of you and me that makes a decision. It's that inner part that responds to a holy God. And so here is the reason for backsliding. It's the condition of the heart. Proverbs 4:23, here's what it says. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And you see, the heart is involved in every aspect of your life. You can't get saved apart from a decision and choice of the heart. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man confesses unto salvation. And then not only have the heart in salvation, we have it in sanctification. There's a verse in 1 Peter 3:15. I quoted it for years without realizing I wasn't quoting the whole verse. The part I used to quote was this: be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that's within you with meekness and fear. And I always said, be ready to give it whether they ask you or not. But how am I going to be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks and then he has a need? That's the first part of the verse. The first part of the verse says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. What does sanctify mean? Set apart. So if I set my heart apart for him and him apart and solely as the sole controller of my heart, then I haven't got to worry about backsliding. So the reality of backsliding, the reality of backsliding, but there's another thing about the heart. You know, we not only have the heart in salvation and have the heart in sanctification. Matthew 12:34 says this, out of the abundance of the heart, help me finish it, the mouth speaketh. Every word that comes out of your mouth and my mouth reveals the condition of my heart. And I'll tell you, what I hear coming out of some people's mouths today, they've got serious heart trouble. You ever heard the term garbage mouth? Listen, Christian, you and I need to be on duty. Oh God, set a watch before my lips. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be what? Acceptable in his sight. And then, of course, if you have the heart in salvation, you have the heart in sanctification, you have the heart in speech, but thank God you also have it in service. So you know what that means? Every aspect of the Christian life from beginning to end is the heart. What's it say in Ephesians 6, 5 and 6? In singleness of heart. And then verse 6 says, serving God with your heart. Whole heart. Don't do it half-heartedly. Don't serve out of obligation. Serve out of opportunity. Don't serve out of duty. Serve out of delight. Don't serve because you feel you have to. Serve because by the grace of God, you want to. Leaving your first love. Number three, see how many points you got? 21. But pastor told me take as long as, no, he didn't. Just in case you're wondering, I think it's 8 minutes to 11, near as I can tell. Thirdly, not only is it the reality of backsliding, the reasons for backsliding, what's the result of backsliding? And I jotted down four words for that. Backsliders, okay? Those whose love has grown cold, those who become a little bit indifferent, here's some words that'll describe: self-willed, self-assertive, self-centered, self-pity, self-opinionated. In other words, we got all the answers, we don't know what the question is. Why? Self's in control. The backslider in heart is filled with his or her own ways.
You know that song, I Did It My Way? That ought never be the life of the child of God. Amen. Ought never be the life of the Christian. So, what are those four words? First of all, as a result of backsliding, insecure. Insecure. Matter of fact, sometimes you even get to the point where you doubt your salvation when you may never have doubted it before. You know why? Because things aren't right between you and the Savior, and you're trying to put on a false front so everybody else will think you're just same Joshua. Okay? This is not comfortable scripture, but it is scripture. And by the way, I have never preached this message before in my life. Just prepared it 3 or 4 days ago. You said I could tell that when you started. So what's the first word? Insecure. What's the second word? Insincere. Insincere. Yeah, in other words, we talk it, we don't walk it. You know what? You can probably still go to church. Have you ever noticed when a person has drifted away from the Lord and their love for Christ not as real as it was? Do you ever notice that they probably start, let's say they attended Sunday school, and then their attendance becomes sporadic. And then after a while, you don't see them in Sunday school. And they were faithful in the Sunday evening service. And then for a while, you notice that they're not there on a Sunday night. And then the next place it ends up, Sunday morning, becomes sporadic. Why? It doesn't happen all at once. What's happened? In the heart. That's where it happened. My love for the Lord Jesus. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. All to Jesus I surrender. Third word, okay? Third word is inconsistent. Like Finnegan, on again, off again, gone again. All excited, boy. And then the next week, down there, right? Gonna bombard hell with a water pistol. And next week, you couldn't get him to serve anywhere. What's happened? The backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. What did the Lord say to the church of Ephesus? Oh, he said, you've been so good. You've stood against evil. You've stood for righteousness. He said, you stood against those that, you know, taught false doctrine and everything. He said, nevertheless, I have someone against you. You've left your first love. So that word, inconsistent, not dependable. And then the last one, ineffective. My service for Jesus Christ is unproductive. No longer what it once was. But let me wrap it up, okay? And wrap it up with this. We saw the reality. We saw the reasons, okay? Then we saw the results. But the main question is, how do I get out of it? What's the cure? So I had to simply call that the return from backsliding. And that's why I read Revelation chapter 2, and you've been sitting there saying, why did you read that anyway? Okay? You've left your first love. I have somewhat against you. And then he gave them three words. And these three words are the key for you and for me. If our love for the Lord has got a little cold, our desire to serve him has become a little inconsistent. My genuine heart and burden, compassion for the lost is not what it once was. My giving to the work of God is not what it once was. Here's the key. Three words. He said to the church at Ephesus, remember. Here's what he's saying. Remember where you once were, okay? Remember how you got there. Remember all that I've done for you. And remember how it was in your life, because listen, there's no greater spot under God's heaven than to be right in the dead center of the will of God, totally committed to him in every aspect of life. That's the most wonderful, precious, joyous, contented. That's godliness with contentment. So remember, remember. Memory's a good thing, right? Remember. Remember where you once were. Remember where you are. Now remember where you are now, and then also remember how you got here. Don't try to blame it on someone else. It's in your heart. Then the second word he gave them was this. Repent. What's the good of remembering if I don't know anything about it? How am I going to cure backsliding if I don't repent? And Christians, we don't hear much today for Christians on the aspect of repentance. What's it mean?
It means an about face. It means I'm turning to the Savior, but I'm turning from my sin. Repentance means I'm saying, I was going this way. I realize my life is not what it once was and what it ought to be. And Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I need your grace. I need your help. And by God's grace, I'm now going this way. Then he added two words. You remember and repent or else. You remember and repent or else. And let me tell you, when my God says or else, he gets my attention. You either repent and remember or else. And what's the third word? Remove. What did he say to the church at Ephesus? I'll remove your candlestick. You know what that means? I'll remove your testimony. I challenge you. Make a trip over and see if you can find the church at Ephesus. Matter of fact, make a trip over and see if you can find any one of the seven churches of Revelation. The only people can find them are archaeologists who dig in the ground. What happened? I did it my way. I chose to go my way instead of God's way. When the Lord said, you either remember, repent, or else I will remove. And oh, what a tragedy when God removes the effectiveness of a testimony that has stood true to the cause of Christ for many, many, many years. Or else. Sometimes, he said there, he wouldn't just remove their witness, he'd remove the church, period. And you know the number of churches that have stayed fundamental, biblical, evangelical for 30 years? They're not in the high percentage numbers. You know the number of our Bible colleges? I can think back 20, 25, 30 years ago, some young person asked me about a Bible college. I could say this one, that one, this one, that one. Today, you got to start thinking, scratching your head. What happened? What happened? Today, sometimes in the church, we're spending more trouble trying to keep the machinery operating than we are the purpose of the machine. God says, I'll remove your testimony. And then 1 John chapter 5 says, sometimes God even removes the individual. He said, there is a sin unto death. I don't say you should pray for it, but it's there. Back to my original question. First of all, do you know Jesus Christ personally? Say amen.
Amen.
Do you love the Lord Jesus today more than you've ever loved him before? Do you love his word more? Is this word the pattern of your day every day? Do you love the souls of men more? Do you love the local church more? Don't just pay attendance, you know, here and there, hit and miss. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. And my friend, if you're here today and you don't know my Savior, I've got news for you. He loves you. He died for you. He rose again. We just celebrated it. And he offers to you eternal life. He'll wipe out your past, save your soul, give you the assurance of a home in heaven forever. Father.